time. May this be a time where we enjoy each other, but also a time we recognize you are here with us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so give me 4.5 minutes or so to remind you. Second Sunday of last September, it was my first Sunday back in the pulpit after being gone for 3 months, and it was September 11th, and I stood up and I said something along the lines of, today's a day that we remember, and it's a day that changed the world forever. I didn't know if it really took place pre-9/11 or not, but I said that the world's become a place where we get offended easily. Hasn't really changed much, right? We get offended easily. We could be offended at politics, be offended at the way people talk, what's on TV, who people hang out with, all those sorts of things. But on that day, I was talking specifically about the offense at church and Christianity and faith, right? Over the years, it seems like, how many of you have heard this? The gospel is offensive at some point. Okay, I grew up, so I was born in the 1970s, which was after some of you, but before others of you. Grew up in the 80s, came to adulthood in the 90s, and at a lot of different times, whether it's evangelism training or church from the pulpit, I'd hear the gospel is offensive. And people were proud of that, right? Maybe the exclusivity of Jesus being the only way to heaven, or maybe calling out sins, or maybe thinking, ooh, they live like that. God won't let them in until they clean up their act, right? Christians are really good and have been good at saying, those people don't belong in. And I started thinking, where did that come from, right? Well, the Apostle Paul, in the letter to the church in Corinth, he was a church planter, he said, so we preach that Christ was crucified. When we do, the Jews are offended. The Gentiles say it's nonsense. So even back then, there was offense in this faith. Now, when I kicked off this series back in September of last year, a lot of it stemmed out of a quote from Rachel Held Evans. She wrote in April of 2014, she says, the gospel isn't offensive because of who it keeps out, but because of who it lets in, starting with me, she said. The gospel isn't offensive because of who it keeps out, but because of who it lets in, starting with me. So last September, I said, we're going to take a nice, long, slow walk with Jesus, and we're going to do it through the gospel of Mark, the story that Mark told of Jesus' life story, and we're going to see who Jesus lets in. And by in, I didn't mean, you know, heaven after they die, but who he lets into to his relationships, who he loves, who he engages with. And we've been taking our time since then. I mean, I started the series in September, and I thought it'd be done middle of November of last year. It's the end of July right now, and we are wrapping up, which is good. I've enjoyed the pace of this series. I've enjoyed looking at the gospel differently than I normally would. I've enjoyed seeing who Jesus lets in. From the very first words of the Gospel of Mark, where we see Jesus letting in this wild, crazy guy who lives out in the woods, who's yelling at people any chance he has to tell them to turn from their wicked ways, right? All the way up to the untouchables throughout all the story, all the way up to the religious zealots, to last week when there was three people who were not the highly looked upon gender, who had kind of questionable paths, pasts, and then they didn't do what the angel had told them to do, yet they still were let in. So everybody in between, I've enjoyed seeing Jesus let them in, invite them in. Now, my hope is that over the course of these last 11 months, you've had a chance to like, oh, wow, I'm going to remember that one. That's the one that's memorable, which kind of leads us to our first table question. The question is this: what story of Jesus letting people in did you see or experience in a new way? I think that